Where could I go? Oh, where could I go? You know I'm seeking refuge for my soul. You know I'm needing a friend to save me in the end. Now tell me, where could I go but to the Lord?
Let the church say amen. God has been good to us once again. God is good, God is wonderful, God is great, and we ought to always remember that. And as we approach that throne this morning of grace, let us bow. Oh, great and wonderful Father, how wonderful and how great Thou art. You have been very good to us from the very beginning of our lives to this point in our lives, and we are continuing to pray for future blessings as well. We thank you this morning, Father, for you did not have to leave us here, but you have left us here, giving us another opportunity to serve thee this morning, O Lord. Another opportunity to call upon thy name, and another opportunity this morning to say praises unto thy name. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for it all. Thank you this morning, Father, for the group that's gathered here for none other than to serve thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, that we would do just that. We pray and thank you for the portion of the services that has been rendered, and we ask you, if it is found acceptable and favorable in thy sight, that you would continue to bless the rest of the services as well. Thank you this morning for those who may be sick, and in particular this morning, Father, we're praying for those who have been given a recent clean bill of health, that they may be able to come out and be with us once again. And if the bill of health has not been clean, at least it's been better, for they are here with us this morning. Thanking you, O Heavenly Father, for those who may be going into the hospital and those who may be sharing with the saints about that. We thank you, O Heavenly Father. Thank you this morning, Father, for the leaders of this congregation as well as the members of this congregation. We pray for each and every member, each and every member's family, that all would be well with them. Thank you this morning, Father, for you always find a way to make it right for us. We thank you this morning, O Lord, and we pray and ask you to continue to bless this local congregation, our elders and their families, our leaders and their families. Continue to bless all of us, O Heavenly Father, and thank you, O Heavenly Father, that your Son Jesus went to yonder's cross, hung, bled, and died on our behalf. Father, we thank you for everything that you have done for us, and we are once again continuing to ask for more. Thank you, Father. Thank you for allowing us to be able to call upon thy name. It is in your Son Jesus' name that we continue asking all of these blessings. Let us all say amen. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Hebrews chapter 10. The verses are number 22 through verse number 25. And as we approach the first day of the week, one thing should be on the minds of all people, especially those who call themselves Christians. We have all had an entire prior week to work, to play, to do whatever it is that we do. But upon the first day of every week, of every month, and of every year, we need to focus our minds on coming together in the assembly of God. Some understand the necessities of the assembly, but some are easily distracted by other matters. In today's text, there's a scripture to let us know something on this wise. So let us attempt to touch on this as we study our God's word today. So from Hebrews chapter 10, the verses number 20 through 25, we want to talk about let us hold fast. Let us hold fast. And when you consider the word of God, there's always something good in the word of God. There's always something that we can learn about in the Word of God. And the one thing that we can learn from God's Word is number one, how we are to worship Him, how we are to treat one another, and how we are to live ourselves. And so this morning, let us learn to draw near to God. Look at verse number 22 of Hebrews chapter 10. It says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. The first thing we are given in these instructions in verse number 22 there is that the writer's instruction gives us three components there. In verse number 22, the first component he gives us, he said, let us draw near. There should be no doubt in any of our minds left for us about who are we to draw near to. It is speaking of us coming to God. Now the question becomes, how does one get to know God unless he or she has come to Him? Number two, he tells us how to come near to Him. He says, with a true heart. Now this means that our hearts must be genuine, must be sincere, and must be honest. And then the third component there, he says, our bodies washed with pure water. The point here is that our bodies must be cleansed from sin and the guilt of sin thereof. Only we can draw near. Only we can strive to make sure our hearts are pure. And certainly only we can be sure that our hearts are clean from the unrighteousness. There is good news on this front for all of us today. There's very good news for anyone who wants to serve God in spirit and in truth. The reason that God sent His Son into this world, that we might have the opportunity to draw near to Him. Jesus took it upon Himself to bear our sins, and He opened up the way to God. Not only for us, the only way for us is to get to God is through by Jesus Christ. Jesus not only opened up the way for us, but He is the way, He is the truth and the life for us to get to God. John chapter 14 and verse number 6. Jesus also established or built His church right down here on earth according to Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. That the people may come to Him. In John chapter 10 and verse number 9, Jesus said, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved. So the question of the hour this morning is, why doesn't the churches of Christ have overflow crowds? And I'll tell you why the best that I can. I'll tell you why so many have not decided to draw near to God. Not enough have true hearts, and certainly too many are not washed with pure waters. Too many are not washed in the way that they should be washed and not cleansed the way verse number 22 tells us. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure waters. Then verse number 23, if you'll notice, it says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith. But notice what it says there. It says, without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. So after we draw near, we should learn to hold fast. There are many excuses for people not attending church. I'd like to ask some of them sometime from time to time, and I get all kind of answers to that question. But in our text there in verse 23 where it says, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. Holding fast means to stay the course, to stay with the truth, to hold out even in the face of what doesn't make you feel good. See, a lot of us are in feel-good mode. If we don't feel good, then it's not right. But I got news for you this morning. It's not about the feelings, but it's about what's right and what's wrong. It's about learning to hold fast to the profession of our faith. Holding fast means that we must not deviate from the gospel. And holding fast means that when one comes to the Lord, he must decide and make up his mind that that's where he's going to stay. When one decides he wants to come to Christ, when one decides he wants to become a member of the Lord's body, we are to teach them in the ways of the Lord. And when that person has been taught and is ready to become a member of the Lord's body, we must continue to hold there and help the believer to hold fast to the faith. Now, so many times I've seen it happen, and I know you have too. You've seen it happen where we get a new member in, and then as soon as that new member walks in the door, within just mere short time period or short time span, we may lose that member because we're not doing what we ought to do. And that's for all of us. I've got a duty. You've got a duty. The rest of us have a duty as well. So we've got to learn that we must continue to uplift from the young Christian, and I mean young in the faith, to the seasoned Christian. Oh, I need some uplifting every now and then. Brother Jackson and Brother Burnside need some uplifting every now and again. And so do you. If you've been on the battlefield for any length of time, you need a little encouragement every now and then. We must learn to teach the truth about Jesus Christ. We must learn that even as seasoned Christians, we must provide the tools that those young Christians need and those folk young in the gospel need. Therefore, the seasoned Christian I speak of at this moment, the seasoned Christian must always be on guard that they remain steadfast themselves. When a Christian fails to hear the teaching of the Word of God, he is doubting the validity of God and may find himself in the position of not being able to tell others or to teach others of God's goodness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse is number 21. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And if you have yourself, if you find yourself in a situation where you can't defend the gospel, you're not holding fast. You got to learn to stay steady. Be like a rock. Be like a rock, a Christian rock, if you will. When something as precious as the Word of God has come to us, we need to share it with others and then never give up. And I know it's easy for some of us when we think about giving up. Giving up seems to be the easier of the two, of staying or giving up. Giving up, but Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9 tells us, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So look at the text in verse number 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, when you think about what Galatians 6 just said there, that we've got to not grow weary. Now, this tells us that we are at all times that we should be willing and ready to not only be taught in the Word, not only to hear the Word, but also be willing to do good and teach others. When you take notice of that last part of Galatians 6 and verse number 9, the Bible says, for in due seasons we shall reap if we faint not. When we do well in our duties to the Lord, when we continue on with our hearts and our profession, we shall reap. And this reaping, it may not come while you're living in this lifetime, but surely the hereafter, the other part of that, when we go and leave this world and when we come into life hereafter, we shall reap our just rewards. If we grow weary, and as some do, we stop. And sometimes we stop completely. We can become discouraged. We then miss out on the great reward. And I think it's a shame when one has done so well for so long, then grows weary and gives up. He gives up on the Lord and he gives up on forsake the assembly. That's when one misses what God has in store for him or her. Wavering is all right if you're a body of water. But as Christians, let us not waver. Look at the text again. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Now, wavering, and you know something about wavering. I know you know something about wavering. That's that person who sits on the fence. That's that person who, when you ask him over here about something, he agrees over here. When you ask him over here about something, he agrees over here. That's wavering. Wavering means you're not steady. You're not professed in the gospel of Christ. You don't know what to do. You're not professed in the Word of Christ. And then look at verse number 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We've got to learn to love one another. We've got to learn to not provoke one another. And you know, it's been often spoken of people who provoke their children, people who provoke their spouses, But the Bible says here, let us consider one another to provoke to love and to good works. So it speaks of us learning to let others know about the good works of the Lord and see good works in us. Let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This is another one of our great duties. In verse number 25 of that text, look what the Bible says. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Exhorting one another and so much more as you see the day approaching. Now, what are you talking about there? Well, the failure to attend the assembling of the saints. The text says, not forsaking the assembly of the text of ourselves together. I know people have varied reasons for forsaking the assembling of Christians together. Some are not full-time Christians. But I'm here to tell you this thing once and for all, that there is no such thing as a part-time Christian. You can't say that I love God on Sunday, but then don't love Him on Monday through Saturday. You can't say that I'll be good only on Sunday. I'm going to look the real part of a Christian on Sunday. I'm going to dress up, I'm going to shine my shoes, and I'm going to have my best smile on, and I'm going to go to church, and I'm going to be a good Christian. But all 6 days prior to Sunday, all 7 days prior to Sunday, you've decided you were going to be a devil. Some are not full-time Christians, and God is not pleased, because according to Deuteronomy chapter 4, God is a jealous God, and He wants us to worship no other God. And when we allow something to stand in the way between us and God, we're not giving God our total self. Others want to love God on their terms, only calling upon Him in their hours of trouble. And still others, as one commentator put it, want to be what we call secret Christians. They want to be secret Christians or secret believers, but the Bible has an answer to them too, because in Matthew chapter 22 and verse number 37, we are told that thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart and thy soul. And then verse number 38 says, this is the first and great commandment. Now, secret Christian. Either he's going to be a Christian or he's going to hold a secret. And you can't be both. You can't be a secret Christian, because there is no such thing as a secret Christian. You want to be secret with God and secret with men and secret in your worship to the Lord. It just can't happen. Look at the text again. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much as more as you see this day approaching. When someone finds that the assembling together of Christians, when they find that this is no longer important to me, this is less important than staying in bed or whatever it is that one may do on a Sunday morning or on a day when the worship is called, the assembly is called together. Neglect is the next step. After you decided, I'm not gonna get up this morning. I'm not gonna go to the assembly this morning. I'm not going this morning. I just got something else to do. When you find that, then that next step is neglect. And neglect is when I want to go, but I know I should be going, but I'm not going. So the Bible says we're not to forsake ourselves of the forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Do you remember in John chapter 4 in the verses number 24? The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship the Lord, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. The earlier Christians worship Him daily according to Acts chapter 2 around about verse 45 or verse number 46. Taking the time to serve God through the assembling of the saints should be on all of our minds, on not only on Sunday morning, but you ought to start preparing your mind for it earlier than Sunday morning. I know there are some of us, we get so busy sometimes. We get so wrapped up and so tied up in other things in this life that we forget about the worshiping, the assembling of ourselves together. And some think that, well, I'm going to go to worship. I'm going to go to the assembly together, being with the other Christians. But I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to even speak to anybody. Stay home. Stay home. Because look at verse number 24 again. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work. I can't give you a good work or give you love if I'm acting like I'm mad at everybody in the world. Some of us are like some of those people that we meet out in the street. People used to wave at you and speak to you when you passed them on the street. Now you don't even dare look at somebody on the street these days for fear of what they might do to you. But I remember whenever I go down in the South, whenever I go see my folk down in the state of Mississippi, all I need to do is go to Walmart and everybody in town will speak to me. All I need to do is drive down one of those little small country roads and everybody in the world that's there is going to speak to me. But here, we don't speak. We just don't speak. And I find that to be odd against some Christians, because if we are to consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work, how are we going to do this good work if we can't strike up a conversation with one another? And if we do strike up a conversation with one another, it's usually something that we don't want to hear, or we don't need to hear, I should say. It's something that, as Christians, you ought to block your ears up so that you don't have to hear it. The Word of God tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, around verse number 21, to prove all things, hold fast that which is good. And certainly, God is good. God is not just good some of the time. God is good all of the time. And I know that without God, I would not be where I'm at. And you say, well, where are you at, preacher? Well, I'm where I'm at. I'm right here, right now. And I'm in the Lord's house. And I serve the Lord. And I try to do my best. But do I always do my best? The answer to that question is no. I have evil days and evil times, just like some of you do. But I try to do my best. So, but I try to let us consider one another to provoke unto love and in good works. Then I try to remember verse number 25 where it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. I try to let somebody know that I care enough about them. I may not walk up to you and grab your hand and squeeze your hand and tell you how much I love you, but I may be doing it simply by my works toward you or whatever I say to you. And then there are those who say, well, it's hard to love some folk. Well, I know it is. It's hard to love me sometimes. It's hard to love you sometimes. But nevertheless, the Bible tells us not to let us consider one another to provoke unto love. You have to work at loving some folk. You have to work a little harder at loving other folk. But you still got to love them just the same. Keep in mind what the psalmist wrote in Psalms chapter 84, around about verse number 10. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in the tent of wickedness. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's always good to serve the Lord and be in a servant mode. It's always good to let the Lord know that I'm trying to do my best. And Lord, even though I fall short sometimes, I'm still trying. And sometimes trying gets the best of you. That's why when the assembly is called together, you need to be there so that you can be taught and so that you can learn and so that you can let your wisdom go to others. See, the way that we think sometimes is not the way God wants us to think. We think evil thoughts, some of us sometimes. We sit up and conceive methods in order to do wrong to somebody. As soon as I see him, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that. And we think on these things. That's not provoking one another unto love and to good works. That's not letting someone else know how much I care about you. Now, you don't have to come, you don't have to drop by my house and pay my bills, but if you want to, I'll accept. But you need to love one another. We don't have to call up each other every single day to say that I love you, but we need to make sure that we are letting the other ones know. If I miss calling you every now and then, if I miss calling you for a little while, don't worry, I didn't get mad. I'm not mad at you. I just didn't feel like calling you. But nevertheless, you need to understand that God, the Word of God tells us to learn to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise, and then to let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good work, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some, but exhorting one another. That means you need to help me be lifted up. Lifting me up. You don't have to come by and pick me up, but you just need to lift me up with your words. You need to let me know that you care enough that I was thinking about you, and that the word of the Lord says I need to consider loving you. I need to hold fast to my profession of my faith, of our faith, and I need to consider to provoke love toward you. But consider this, if you would, for a few moments, church, as we hastily come to a close now. Consider, if you will, that if you don't love one another, what kind of world would we live in and we call ourselves Christians? The world is bad enough without us being a part of it. I mean, without us joining to be a part of it. We're already a part of the world, but we don't have to be, we're of the world, but we don't have to be in the world. We're in the world, but we don't have to be of the world. I get it right there in a second. But you know, the Bible says that, and I like what the Bible says about it when it tells us to consider one another. And that's something, that one word there means a whole lot to some of us. Consider. Now, what does it mean to consider? Well, it simply means to think upon this thing and be more prepared to work toward these ends, or this end, whatever the case may be. As Christians, we should look forward to meeting one another, to uplift one another, to show love toward one another, and especially show love toward God. And when we fail, and we start forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, if the building was opened up for prayer meeting, we ought to be here if this is where we assemble at. If the building was open up, we ought to be here. That's what we're talking about. Wherever the assembling is at, we need to be there. We need to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some. And when we think on it, church, when we look at this matter, we look at the big picture. How can I learn what my brothers and sisters are feeling? Or how can I learn to let them know that I care about them if I'm not around them? I can sit at home, I can watch, I don't know what comes on anymore, I can, in the daytime on television, I can watch The Guiding Light or whatever it is that, I don't know if it comes on anymore, or I could watch the Maury Show and talk about the babies, mamas and daddies, and sit there and watch stuff like that all day. But instead, I need to consider one another that I may learn how to love one another. I may consider how to do right by one another. I may consider that God is love, and that if I'm a Christian, I need to be loving just like God loves us. I think about it all the time, church, how that God put His Son down here on this earth to hang, bleed, and die for us. And I've told you this over and over again. I wouldn't have done it. And I still wouldn't. I wouldn't sacrifice myself for any of us, including me. But God wants us to love one another, and He wants us, the Word wants us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And when you think about it and you look at this whole thing, God is good to us. How much better does He have to be to us for us to see? How much more do we need from God than what He has already done for us? Well, what has He done for us, preacher? Well, I got up this morning. I don't know about you. I got up this morning, and when I got up, the first thing I thought about was food. He gave me some food in my kitchen to go and get. He gave me a stove to cook that oatmeal that I made that oatmeal on. I didn't do it by myself, church. And then I thought about something that the Bible says. It says that once appointed to man, death, and after death comes the judgment. I've got to make up for what I do in this lifetime, and I'm going to have to pay for it at the judgment. And I thought about it even more so. I got up, when I first woke up this morning, I thanked Him for waking me up. And then when I got up, I asked, after thanking Him for waking me up, I asked Him to allow me to get up. And then when I got up, I was so glad that it was Sunday morning, because I know where my mind and my heart ought to be leading me to. There was never in my mind any question as to where I was going today. Yes, my car may need to be cleaned up, but my body need, and my heart needs more cleaning, even more so my soul. So I needed to get to church. And if I had walked out the door, went out there and got in the car and it didn't start, I guess I would have had to start walking. Because I was going to get to church one way or the other. But some of us, we think that God needs to bring us a special message. Lord, come knock on my door. We don't say it like that, but some of us think that that's the way we need to do. Lord, come knock on my door. Because then I'll believe that You're here. Remember Thomas? Doubting Thomas. I won't believe it until I stick my hand in the print of the in the hole from the nails. But when he saw Jesus, I think he changed his mind. Some of us, we're going to wait to try our best to see Jesus before we make up our minds. And when we see Him and we haven't done the right kind of thing, we're not going to want to see Him, but we're going to have to see Him. But I tell you one thing, we've got to learn not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as some do. We've got to learn to stir up and consider love toward one another. And when I talk about love toward one another, it's a thing that I talk about quite frequently, but it's never enough. It's never enough. Because until we all start doing this, it's not going to be right. And when God calls us home, somebody is going to stand up over your casket somewhere. And somebody is going to say nice things, because we say nice things at funerals. But that person is not always telling the truth. Sometimes somebody kind of fudges a little bit when they talk about people at their funeral, because they think that's what the family wants to hear. But God doesn't take those words, because your words don't mean anything to Him when it comes to the judgment. When it comes to your death, God knows exactly how to meter out the reward when it comes to the judgment. So we've got to get it right, right here, right now. And if we don't get it right, right here, right now, we don't get another opportunity. How do I get it right while I'm here, preacher? Well, simply by hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, repenting of your past sin, confessing Christ, and then being baptized in the watery grave of baptism. Some of you, many of us in here can say for a fact, I did that a long time ago. But have you walked straight since then? Have you found yourself falling off the road, falling off the wayside, by the wayside? If you have, you need to ask God to forgive you and bring yourself back home. It's a simple walk from the back door up to the front pew here. And when you get up to the front pew, you face the church. Say, church, I have fallen short. I'm not going to tell you what I did, but I've fallen short. And I ask for your prayers to help me grow stronger. And if you do this, then the church can pray for you. And maybe your days would be better. Can't promise you, can't guarantee you, but I know one thing I can guarantee you is that with the Lord, things are better.
Amen.
That I can guarantee you. I don't know if it'll work on your behalf, but with the Lord, things are better. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? That's found in the blood, found in the blood. Would you worry, full of victory when there's wonderful power in the blood?